will come to order. And Representative Lee, would you like to lead us in the pledge?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
The committee legislative assistant will note the roll. A quorum is present. May I have a motion to approve the minutes from February 27th?
Mr. Chair, I will move the minutes for February 27th.
Thank you. Representative Lee moves the approval of the February 27 minutes. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye. Opposed, nay. The motion prevails. The first bill on the agenda is House File 1892. Representative Howell, is it just you today? Do you have any testifiers?
I have testifiers if we choose to need them.
All right, go ahead and let's see. I'll move House File 1892 before the committee and that it be re-referred to the Public Safety and Security Policy Finance Committee. Representative Howell, please tell us about your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and committee. This bill's been around a couple of years, and we're going to give it another shot this year. What it does is it changes who we consider as impersonating police officers and military. What it does is before you had whoever falsely impersonates a police or military officer. Well, where we ran into this problem was down in Wilmer. We had an individual that was passing himself off as a sergeant major of the Army. He was getting free this and free that, showing himself as a command sergeant major in parades, that type of thing, and finally somebody dug into his past and found out he didn't even make it through basic training. So that raised the flag up, and so we started looking at it. And the reason we changed it to any active or reserve component military service member or veteran is because when we get called to state active duty for a tornado or a flood or that type of thing, you've got soldiers out there that are of all ranks, and they're trying to maintain order. They may be assisting people in evacuations, and right now if someone comes in there, dresses themselves up in an old uniform, passes themselves off as a E4 specialist with some authority, we've got nothing to prosecute him on. So that's the concern. That's why the bill. I do have Mr. Kerr here for a testifier, and he can state his concerns as well.
Mr. Kerr, please state your name for the record, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My name is Don Kerr. I'm the Executive Director of the Department of Military Affairs. For all the reasons Representative House cited, we strongly support this bill. We feel that maintaining the integrity of our identity of our service members when they're performing state active duty or federal service is important. It's important from a credibility perspective. It's also important from a public safety perspective. And I think he stated it fairly eloquently, but I would certainly respond to any questions the committee has.
Are there any questions for the authors or testifiers? Would anybody else like to testify from the audience? Seeing none, is there any discussion? None. Representative Howell, any closing remarks?
No, Mr. Chair, I just ask for your support, and I take it this is going to, where is it?
Public safety and security policy.
All right, super. Thank you.
The chair removes the motion that the House File 1892 be re-referred to the Public Safety and Security Policy, or Police and Finance Committee. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? The motion prevails. House File 1892 is re-referred to Public Safety.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
The next bill on the agenda is House File 1893, which is also Representative Howell. I'll move that House File 1893 before the committee and that it be re-referred to the Taxes Committee. Representative Howell, please tell us about your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And what this bill does is it deals strictly with dual status military technicians. And to explain what dual status is it's a federal technician that wears the uniform, but then they also have to be a member of the Guard or Reserve. So in order to have their full-time job as a military technician, they have to be a member of the Guard or Reserve. If they lose their membership in the Guard or Reserve, they lose their full-time job. So, and just to give the committee a little bit of scope of what this, why this is such an important thing is, traditional guard and reserve members have their state, their pay and retirement excluded from state income tax. Active duty service members, their pay and retirement is excluded from state income tax. Your active guard reserve, your AGR soldiers who wear the uniform every day, get treated just like an active duty member, but they are here in the state of Minnesota. Their pay and retirement is excluded from state income tax. Now you come to the dual status military technician, who are some of our lowest compensated members of the military, and their pay and retirement are both taxed. So these are the mechanics that are maintaining our equipment every day. These are the office personnel that are shuffling paperwork. You see them walking through Cedar Street. You may have an AGR member and a technician sitting side by side doing similar jobs, and the military technician is making probably half or less than the other member. So we are losing military technicians to other jobs because they're worried that once they may stay in the Guard for 20 years and then lose through maybe some board or some medical problem, lose their membership in the Guard or Reserves, and it costs them their full-time job. And then they're out within, then they have nothing. So we're having a lot of our technicians look for other work because they don't get compensated. This is just a little bit of recognition that says, hey, you're just as valuable as the rest of the members on the team. Your pay and retirement should also be excluded from state income tax. And Mr. Kerr is here to try to give shed a little bit more light on the problem as we see it.
Thank you, Mr. Kerr.
Mr. Chair and members, thank you. I wanted to give a little bit of context to this from over time. These two programs, they're both federal programs. The feds pay 100% of the cost.
Mr. Kerr, I'm sorry. Can you please state your name again for the record?
I'm sorry, Mr. Chair. Don Kerr, the Executive Director of the Department of Military Affairs.
Thank you.
These programs are both federally funded, federally controlled, managed at the federal level, one through dollars and the other through headcount. And they go back a long ways. And back, I actually was an AGR, an Active Guard Reserve soldier. I transitioned out of the active army in 1990. And at that time, entry-level captains in the Active Guard and Reserve program were compensated very closely to what federal technician, dual-status technician captains were. And there were some variations in their programs, mostly came out to healthcare. They were really very comparable. However, since 1990, there's really been substantial growth in military pay. And during that era, because of the war, obviously, in Iraq and Afghanistan and the global war on terrorism, there's been a lot of public support for military pay. At the same time, there have been calls to restrict federal civilian pay. And more often than not, our federal civilian workforce has been restricted to either no pay increase at all or a 2 or 3% behind what military pay. And over a 30-year period, there's a substantial difference now between what has happened with military pay and technician pay. And today, it's really not anywhere near equivalent anymore. This is a problem for us in the Department of Military Affairs. It's a problem for the Army Reserve, the Air Force Reserve. And it's only exacerbated by the fact, from a morale perspective, that now we have, the state has very generously extended a waiver of state income tax for military pay. Unfortunately, that creates an even greater disparity because now our military technicians are not only being paid less, but they're also being taxed on that smaller wage. And so we think this is a great equity move. We originally had some concerns that it may be fairly difficult to administer, but I don't think that's the case in the modern era. I think that There will be only a handful of agencies that will need to report to the Department of Revenue, and should be relatively easy to be able to get good data both ways. And I guess I'll stop there and ask if there are any questions.
Thank you. Are there any questions for the testifiers or author? Is there anybody else that would like to testify on the bill? Any further discussion? And Representative Howe, any closing remarks?
Thank you for your support, we'll look forward to seeing this in taxes.
The chair removes the motion that House File 1893 be re-referred to the Taxes Committee. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? The motion prevails. House File 1893 is re-referred to taxes. The next bill on the agenda is House File 1563, Representative... Okay. So we are moving to... That's what it says.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. We're skipping one. The next one we're going to do is House File 1563, Representative Rosenthal. Would you like to move your bill before the committee that it be referred to the state government finance?
Yes, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. And Representative Rosenthal, your bill is before us. Please tell us about your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members. This bill was brought to me by a constituent. And what it does, there's a program using horses as equine therapy, and it's used with not only veterans but people with traumatic stress disorder. And it seemed to work really, really well. And we hope to keep this program going, and hopefully, if it's successful, build it throughout the state. And with that, I'll stand for questions. We do have a couple of testifiers.
Well, welcome.
Ma'am, can you please state your name for the record?
My name is Karen Prieto, and I am here as an advanced practice nurse, as a doctor of nursing, and I am here to support this bill. I also want to introduce Jenny Burhoff. She's here as the head of the nonprofit Equine Innovations, and she's here to testify as well. So the purpose of this bill is to gather here today to address an issue of social justice that's actually affecting our veterans. But before I move forward with my presentation, I just want to thank members of the committee for agreeing to address.
Ma'am, could you speak into the microphone a little bit more?
Can you hear me?
Okay. Thank you.
I don't want to kind of move that. So I want to thank all members of the committee for taking the time to consider this bill. And I also want to thank Representative Rosenthal and John Stice for collaboration on this bill. It really is a bill that we are here to address an issue of social justice. The Veterans Horsepower Program is an equine experiential learning program which helps veterans to develop new skills and tools for resilience, personal growth, and awareness. This program was created to address the high incidence of veterans returning from war deployment with mental health disorders. In 2012, the Veterans Administration reported that approximately 30% of military troops suffered from a mental health disorder after returning from war. While some of the mental health disorders may have been mild, several veterans were diagnosed with PTSD, which is known to be associated with nightmares, anxiety, depression, leading many to commit suicide. The VA acknowledged in 2012 that evidence-based treatments are available to support vets, but many went without appropriate care. This resulted in the U.S. Congress passing two pieces of legislation to address this problem. First, it was the passage of the Act, the H.R. 3230, called the Veterans Choice, Access, and Accountability Act of 2014, and H.R. 5059, the Clay Hunt Suicide Bill. The benefits of humans of equine-assisted activities has been well-researched was captured the attention of the U.S. Department of Veteran Affairs because of the relationship between equine-guided activities and PTS breakthroughs for veterans. One goal of equine-assisted activities is to help the veterans learn how to trust people by choosing to rather than by force. Horses are flight animals. They are frightened by everything they don't understand. If they don't trust it, they need to get away from it, and this is often how many veterans feel too. Veterans Horsepower Program has six highly trained professionals which help to co-create the relationship between the veteran and the horse in order to establish trust and safety. The equine-guided coach then helps to facilitate learning through carefully designed exercises. Five of the six professionals of this team engage in the equine-guided coaching. The sixth professional is a veteran in the Minnesota National Guard who is a licensed therapist and will act as a consultant for this program. The goal of this program is to be able to provide evidence-based, high-quality care for our veterans at no cost to them. This program will also include options for the family to participate as needed. This grant you authorize today will allow us to hire quality staff and provide care for the therapy animals, an essential component of the program. The grant will also allow the veteran to attend three sessions or more as indicated. They will gain awareness of their situation and learn skills to build emotional, social, and interpersonal strength, which can improve relationships and help them to implement their life plan. A few equine-guided coaching programs exist in Minnesota, but our goal is to offer a more centralized location so the cost of travel does not restrict some veterans from participating. The ideal situation would be to create a holistic health center for vets in the Minneapolis-St. Paul area, which could provide equine-assisted activities as well as other therapies to promote healing and improve quality of life. I strongly believe this is the least we can do to support our brave veterans in their time of need.
Thank you. And would you please state your name and who you represent?
Sure. My name is Jenny Burhau, and I'm the founder of Equine Innovations. It's a nonprofit that's mission is to provide equine activities, equine-assisted activities for individuals with special needs, developmental disabilities, physical, cognitive impairments, and their families and caregivers. And serving veterans just really came authentically to our program. We serve people with a lot of different needs, and we'd get family members or someone that knew someone that had some issues, and they're just naturally drawn to this type of work, and it's done amazing things, and now there's some scientific research behind it that's proving that this work isn't just magic or feel good. It's real things that happen, and you know, chemical things that happen in the brain to retrain after trauma incidents. So we feel really strongly that we can provide a service and a better quality of life for those that are struggling.
Thank you, Ms. Bruno. Chair Davis.
Thank you. And so one of the questions was answered by the second testifier. The money goes to a not-for-profit Equine Innovations. Okay. To the first witness. First of all, I mean, this might make a lot of sense here. You got a good, strong author hearing the bill and so forth. And I just put my name on it, so it's even getting better. But, and I, you know, everybody around this table wants to help veterans. That's why we're here. You mentioned twice, though, this is about social justice. Isn't this about helping veterans recover from PTSD and so forth?
It is, but the underlying base approach that I've taken is it's when veterans return from war and they fought and served this country so greatly, and then when they came back, there wasn't enough programming to help address needs of PTSD. So based on that, I consider that, figure that to be a social injustice for our vets. And that's really the root of where this program came in addressing that.
Chair Davis, follow up.
You might want to talk to your author about definitions of social justice, because, like I said, everybody here supports veterans, and this looks like an innovative program that I think might have some real promise. I would just talk to your author about phraseology.
Okay.
Ms. Tanker.
Yeah. Representative Roosevelt.
Representative Davis, that's a good point, and there's nothing in the bill that pertains to what you were just saying. It is strictly a grant to Equine Innovations.
Chair Davids. And thank you, Mr. Chairman, and Representative, no justice, no peace.
Representative O'Neill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you for being here today. I was just curious as to how many veterans you currently serve, and with this additional money, how many more veterans could you serve?
Ms. Prieto?
I can probably answer that. Right now, well, it's a new program. We've served some unofficially throughout other programs. Within that we serve, I do riding programs and workshops, and so we've not had a program specifically aimed at veterans. And when that came to light that this was a need we could serve, we really carefully considered what it would take to do it successfully, and we've culminated with these six people that have varying backgrounds, and they're all very highly educated and come from different outlooks, and we've consulted with other programs and determined what was successful for them and what wasn't, and have really researched going forward to make it a specific program so that we could serve the most within our capabilities. So going forward with this grant, we could look at anywhere from, depending on how we do the programming, 15 to 20 or 30 a month, basically, is what we're looking at.
Representative O'Neill, follow up.
So that many per month, and do you take on new people each month, or is this something they do month after month? Or so like in a calendar year, like how many would you serve for the $20,000?
Ms. Burhoff?
In a year's setting, are you asking for like a year? You know, it's going to depend. We're going to take each person in their individual circumstance. You know, we kind of gauged a three-session deal, but if someone needs more and they determine that their family needs to be involved, maybe they'll come 10 times. So, you know, it's kind of a per-person based on what their need is. If they're, you know, highly functioning, they're just coming to gain some skills to continue. They're highly functioning in their life and just coming to gain some awareness or personal growth issues, we may see them two times or, you know, whatever it is. So the range can be great, and, you know, totaling it up. I don't know. Maybe I haven't looked at the total. I know how many sessions we can do a week and how many people we can effectively handle in a week. So, you know, 12 to 15 in a week, and therefore, depending on who needs the amount of service, I guess, depends on that.
Representative O'Neill, follow up.
Well, maybe the answer can come from the author. Maybe you know, like, how many more people we can serve, or how many more sessions we can do for $20,000. I guess that's sort of what I was wondering.
Representative Rosenthal.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative O'Neill, the answer is to as many as possible. We hope that these people come to the program. They come at it at varying needs. Some, as was said, would just need a little bit of help. Some need a lot of help. So it's kind of hard to quantify, especially going into their first year just serving veterans. But I would imagine, you know, we could serve a couple hundred veterans for that, for a very little limited amount of money. And there are programs around the country that shows this is very, very effective therapy.
Are there any other questions for the testifiers? Anybody else wish to testify on this bill? And is there any discussion? Representative Rosenthal, any closing remarks?
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members. I think this bill is a really, really good start on what could be a wonderful program for veterans who are suffering and need help, and that connection with the animal seems to really, really, really be a strong bond and get these people back on the streets and secure, safe, and contributing to society. Thank you.
Representative Rosenthal renews the motion that House File 1563 be re-referred to State Government Finance Committee. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? The motion prevails, and House File 1563 is referred to State Government Finance.
Okay, next, we have two bills on the agenda that are identical to House File. You have House File 1348 and House File 1799. And Representative McQuaid and Representative Rosenthal, please, come to this table, which you are already sitting in the hot seat there, and we have some other testifiers. And you're going to be seeing a lot of people coming in here, too. We just left the Legacy Committee, and I had two veterans bills up in the Legacy, and we packed the place. So many of them will be coming into today's division, Veterans Division. Since the language for both bills are identical, we will hear both bills at the same time. And Representative McQuaid, would you like to move House File 1348 before the committee, and that it be re-referred to the Committee on Taxes?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So moved.
And Representative Rosenthal, would you like to move House File 1799 before the committee, and that it be re-referred to the Tax Committee, the Great Tax Committee?
The Great Tax Committee, Mr. Chair. Thank you.
Okay. Well, Representative McQuaid and Rosenthal, your bills are before us, and please tell us about your bills.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members. As you enjoy the cookies that I did not bring for my first bill, but I am bringing for this. So this bill essentially increases the tax credit for veterans with 100% service-connected disability to $1,000, and the phase-out is raised. So currently it's at $30,000, begins phasing out at $37,500, and this would raise that to $50,000. And no credit allowed for $60,000 or more. We do have testifiers, and I will let Representative Rosenthal, as the lead for my caucus, can talk more on them.
Representative Rosenthal.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative McQuaid did a fine job in describing the bill, and all it's doing is raising the credit from $750 to $1,000 and raising the income limits. So with that, I would defer to our testifiers.
Okay, please introduce yourself. Welcome. Please introduce yourself for the record.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members. My name is Terry Steenbach, and I'm the Assistant Commissioner of Individual Taxes at the Department of Revenue. And I want to thank the representatives for bringing this bill forward. This is something that I know you've expressed interest in, and it's something that the department supports as well. So I'll just briefly talk about what the bill, what this means in relation to the bill. I do want to let you know that both Governor Dayton and Lieutenant Governor Smith support House File 1799, and this proposal is basically to increase the credit for past military service. The governor does recommend increasing the phase-out floor for this income tax credit from $30,000 to $50,000 and raising the maximum credit amount from $750 to $1,000 while maintaining the 10% phase-out. So I want to talk a little bit about the current law. The current law allows for a non-refundable credit for taxpayers who are separated from military services and meet one of the following criteria. They either served in the military for at least 20 years, they have a service-related disability rated at 100% total and permanent disability, or they're eligible for a military pension. So this proposal would increase the number of individuals who are eligible while keeping the credit targeted at those who need it most. In addition, increasing the maximum credit would also benefit those who are currently claiming it. So as this bill continues to work through the process, we look forward to continuing to work with both you, Mr. Chair, and the representatives on this particular bill.
And I understand it was in last year's tax bill, too. Okay. Are there questions from the committee? Representative Davids.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just wanted to make sure that we're talking about the same bill here that was in House File 848, the tax bill last year that the governor vetoed. So this was passed.
This was passed in the House and also signed, passed in the Senate, too. Am I correct?
Yes, sir. That's
I'm correct.
That's correct. And we found one more testifier. That's it. Well, two more.
Okay. Is it Mr. Kaiser? Would you introduce yourself?
Yes, my name is Jerry Kaiser. I'm the Vice Chairman of the United Veterans Legislative Council. We have 30 veteran organizations in our group, and this has also been put forth at the Military Action Group, which is that I am co-chairman with the Bob Detmer, Chairman Bob Detmer. It's an excellent advance. It, as a 100% disabled combat veteran, we have had income more than the $37,000, and that this would raise it up to 50 to be able to take advantage of that particular situation. I did not serve for 20 years. I was just in for 3. But as a disabled veteran, I qualify for this particular one because I'm 100%er. This will bring another group of individuals that have not been able to have the income that they'd like to give them that $1,000 tax deduction in the state of Minnesota. Thank you.
Okay. Any questions for Mr. Kaiser? Okay. Mr. Johnson from the department?
Chair Detmer, members of the committee, my name is Ben Johnson. I'm the legislative director for the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Just wanted to reiterate that this is something that the governor supports. I would also like to highlight that it received some bipartisan support in the authors, and Commissioner Shelto and the agency really appreciate that. And I know that in the past this is an initiative that the Commander's Task Force has always supported, so I would encourage you to continue to support it and as it goes forward into the Great Taxes Committee. Thank you.
Okay, any questions from the committee? Any questions from the audience that would like to come down and testify? Mr. Diamond. See, when people come down, I remember some of the names because they've been down quite a bit. So please introduce yourself for the committee.
I'm Diamond, DFL Veterans Caucus. I'd like to thank the chair and committee members. Fortunate to testify in support of this kind of effort last session, and we've had a number of other pieces of this provision come before here. And I just would like to reiterate that it was great work that was done with the tax bill last year, and hopefully we can do something even greater this year. Thank you.
Okay. Any other questions? Any other discussion? Okay, Representative McQuaid and Rosenthal, any closing remarks?
I think the testifiers said it all. We should do for our veterans as they've done for us, which is provide a society in which we can debate open and free policies, which is wonderful for all of us here at the legislature. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I think this bill goes to serve people that have served us, and it raises the rates to a level where more people can enjoy the benefit. And I look forward, and I keep believing, Mr. Chair.
Chair Davis, any comments on that?
Don't stop.
Don't stop. Okay. Representative McQuaid and renews the motion that House File 1348 be referred to the Tax Committee. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. And then Representative Rosenthal renews his motion that House File 1799 be referred to taxes to the committee. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. House File 1799 is referred to taxes along with House File 1348.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members.
Okay, we will now revert to House File 1682. Vice Chair Representative Bliss, would you like to move your bill before the committees and that it be referred to the State Government Finance Committee?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Yes, I would.
Representative Bliss, your bill is before us, and please tell us about your bill, and the floor is yours.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and committee. House File 1682 is appropriating $50,000 to a program called Veterans Voices. In the past, they've went out and visited with World War II veterans and Vietnam veterans and got them to share their stories and recorded them. And they're now going back and trying to get the Korean War veterans and Operation Desert Storm veterans before these stories are lost forever. So I'm going to let my testifier speak a little bit more to the details on it, but it's a rather small investment to preserve this history.
Welcome to the committee. Please introduce yourself for the record.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members. For the record, my name is Joel Glazer. I'm the CEO of AMPRS, the Association of Minnesota Public Educational Radio Stations. I'd like to thank the committee for having us before you today. Also, I would also like to thank the members of the audience who have served and like to thank you for your service. I am here today to ask for your support of House File 1682. It is funding for AMPRS Veterans Voices Project. As Representative Gorelitz mentioned, AMPRS is an association of 18 community radio stations. I see a lot of familiar faces on the committee, so I won't spend a lot of time talking about that, but there are a few people in here who I have not had the opportunity to meet with. So just to clarify quickly, we are not associated with Minnesota Public Radio. We are the smaller community radio stations throughout Minnesota with an emphasis on underserved populations, especially in rural Minnesota, with 14 of our 18 stations being outside of the Twin Cities. We serve primarily underserved communities looking to get stories out like Veterans Voices. We partnered with Veterans Voices with the Humanities Center, and our first project was Veterans Voices World War II. Take a listen here.
This is Veterans Voices with Kevin Berger, memories and stories of Minnesota's World War II veterans. Today's episode, Bombing Missions.
World War II remains the most deadly conflict in history. More than 326,000 Minnesotans served in the war. Almost 8,000 never came home. Fighting men who put their lives on the line were frequently reminded that their cause was more important than any one of them.
Balls that killed you and that you were expendable.
Lester Schrenk flew combat missions over Germany. He was part of the largest airstrike force in history that took flight to bomb the Nazis.
American fighter planes based in England, operating in the skies of Western Europe against the German Air Force.
Young GIs like Schrenk were matter-of-factly told their lives were not the priority.
It was much more important that you hit the target than you come back alive.
The missions were risky, dangerous, and miserable.
I would just sit in the cockpit and just shake and shiver.
Claude Williams co-piloted bombing missions, part of the air assault on the German war-making machine. Being raised in Minnesota may have prepared him for conditions inside his B-17.
I never was so cold in all my life as when I was coming down off of a mission. Because we're up there at altitude, and that's, you're looking at about 30 to 40 below zero for 6-7 hours or so.
26,000 American airmen died in missions over enemy lands. That represents one-tenth of all Americans killed in World War II. Those who survived beat deadly odds they've been so willing to face.
All I can say is I'm very glad that I was able to serve my country.
Members, that's an abridged version. That is the version that goes out over the radio stations, and we also put onto CDs. We're also doing longer versions for the classroom. We found that teachers have tremendous use for this. We like them to be more along the lines of 4 or 5 minutes, just long enough to get the information out there, but not so long as to put anybody to sleep. So we started initially with World War II. Our second project with the Humanities Center was recognizing the Veterans Voices awardees through the Humanities Center. After that, we went to Veterans Voices Native Warriors. And the reason that we did that, and this was something I was not aware of, is that within the armed services, Native Americans have the highest per capita of any cultural group and have for the existence of time. So we felt it was important to capture their stories. We were then approached and asked to do Veterans Voices Vietnam. And last year, in the second year of the biennium, we were approached and asked, and we were appropriated $50,000 to do Veterans Voices Vietnam, which is what we are working on currently. If you're following the progress, you'll note that we unfortunately skipped Korea, which is often referred to as the Forgotten War. We don't want to skip Korea, which is why we are here today. So we are asking for an appropriation of $50,000 so that we can go back and do the right thing and make sure that we capture the stories of those who served in Korea and archive those and share them both on the radio, also in the classroom, and available online. And in fact, one last comment about the online. Because we are in the education building at the State Fair, and we passed this out on CDs, and I kept having people come up and say, can we have 3 or 4 of these? And I couldn't understand why they were asking so many. And I would ask them, "What, you know, you're trying to sell them on eBay, what's going on here?" And I found out that they were social studies teachers, and they were saying that they would like these to give to other social studies teachers. So we realized that we were actually making it too difficult for people, for teachers in that case. So we're really close to relaunching our website. So we'll have a teachers resources section, and they can go to that teachers resources section. They can download all of the Veterans Voices Vietnam all the veterans' voices, World War II, veterans' voices, Native warriors. If they like to do the shorter ones, they can use the shorter ones. If they like to use the longer ones, they can use the longer ones. So with that, Mr. Chair, members, I will wrap up and hope that you will support our request, and I'm available for any questions.
Representative Davids.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and I realize this isn't a finance committee, but the previous studies that you've had or tapings that you've had, who has funded those?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representatives, from my understanding, twice came through Veterans Affairs General Fund and once through Legacy.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chairman, and to the witness. I mean, I like what we're doing here, and I think that when at the time Chair Mary Murphy and I was the lead Republican that set up the Legacy structure, and I thought we did this through there, wouldn't either like the Historic Society or Legacy be better funding mechanism for this? I like the idea of what you're doing, and I've supported it in the past, but I don't know if State Government Finance, maybe I shouldn't even be talking about it here since it's not a finance committee, but I don't know if that's the right direction to go, or do you have multiple bills going several tracks doing the same thing?
Mr. Glasser?
Mr. Chair, Representative Davis, well, we do not have multiple bills for the same purpose. We do have multiple bills going through. The Legacy is not included in the Legacy bill. The reason that we brought it forth today to Veterans Affairs is because last year it came through, Senator Saxog put it through Veterans Affairs, the General Fund, this last year, and he had the year before as well, or 2 years before that, my apologies, which is why we are here today.
Okay, thank you, Chair.
Okay. Representative, back to Finn.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I just wanted to share my support. I actually just signed on via email while we were sitting here, signed on to the bill. Just wanted to thank you and let other members know. I don't know if you're familiar with these radio stations. A lot of these stations are very important to their communities. You know, you might, if you don't live in one of these communities, you might not even know AMPRs and these stations exist, but they're able to do these focused things, and I really appreciate the work recognizing our Native veterans. Several of your stations serve reservation communities that don't necessarily have the focus of other media. And I also wanted to thank you because I think this really could have some long-reaching effects. I was thinking while we were listening how neat it would be if we could listen to people from wars going even further, you know, if they would have had the capability to do that, how powerful that would be for future generations to hear those, actually hear the voices and the stories. So thank you very much for bringing this bill.
Any other questions? Representative O'Neill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I appreciate you came to see me in my office, and we talked quite a bit. And since then, I just wanted to let you know that my son, who's Army Reserve, went to go see my father, who is a Korean War vet. And, of course, my father had very little to say to us children, but he actually opened up to my son, who is also military. So it was really fun to hear that story over the weekend that he did open up and share. And I know that was a concern of yours as well, that the Korean War veterans particularly are so tight-lipped and they don't want to burden anybody with their stories. And that's kind of how they see it, like they don't want to put that on their family. And so I appreciate what you're doing. I'd like to know how many stories do you think you can capture for the amount of money that you're asking? I think it was $50,000.
Mr. Glasser?
Thank you, Chairman Detmer, Representative O'Neill. I believe that we did 30 of the short and long for that. So it's a total of 60 total, 30 of them being 2 to 2.5 minutes, and another 30 of them being about 4.5 to 5 minutes in length.
Representative O'Neill?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And so this grant money would cover the entire production cost for that whole segment then?
Mr. Glasser?
Chairman Detmer, Representative O'Neill, yes.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Well, just a comment that I have. I think that education piece for our schools is very important, that the teachers in our schools, depending on the curriculum that they have, and to include a section or a unit on these different stories that we have for the World War II, Vietnam War, Korean War, and it's important that we get the word out, because many times what's people, when they go to the movie house and so forth and theaters, what you see there is not really the message that we want to get out to our young people. That I know personally that the last person that wants to go to war is the person that's wearing the uniform. They don't want to, but they've taken the oath of office to defend our Constitution of the United States. So with that, any closing remarks, any other questions that we have? Closer from the audience, any comments? Okay. Representative Bliss, any closing remarks?
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I'd appreciate moving this forward, and I'm honored to carry the bill. Thank you.
Representative Bliss renews his motion that House File 1862 be referred to the State Government Finance Committee. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. House File 1682 will be referred to State Government Finance. And just to close the committee meeting here, since the first policy deadline for our bills that we have here in the House of Representatives is for this coming Friday, we have a tentatively scheduled a meeting of the House Veterans Division for this coming Friday at 10 o'clock. So put that on your calendars in room five, right here, and to hear any bill that's introduced this week, because there might be bills that might be introduced this week. We have two already on the agenda that we'll be putting on the agenda for Friday, and I would expect that it'll be short, kind of like today. We're pretty much done today, so it should be short. And so please put that on your calendar for this Friday at 10 a.m. in room number 5. And Mr. Holquist, our CA here, will send out additional information to you, to your emails. Are there any questions on that? With that, we are adjourned.